All right. Welcome to another edition of the Presidio Bitcoin Jam, PBJ.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good.
Two of us came with a theme, and one of us did not.
My theme is to be the party pooper.
It's the same as Halloween.
the same as Halloween.
We're holding it down with that holiday spirit.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you guys.
That's right.
And to everyone listening.
And DK was teasing me, but you know, just because I got a little Snoopy.
His little Snoopy.
Yeah, it's really
it's supposed to be cute.
It's cute, but it's cute Snoopy.
Kind of too small for me to agree that it's festive.
Well, I got to give a shout out to Anjali. She gave me this as an early Christmas present this morning. I got to represent the Christmas sweater.
Okay.
But DK was joking. It's on my nip. So that's a shout out to Nostra right there. We're going to be talking about, it's not Nippo 5, but it's Nippo Max.
Max is always looking for his Nostra angle.
There's
always
little
in
Max's
mind, there's always a segue to Nostra.
I'm still bullish, baby. I'm still bullish.
Same.
For me, I'm wearing my Christmas Relays hat. A race that DK and I've done twice together.
Yeah.
I think I've done it three times.
Yeah.
But definitely I cheated on DK the last time and ran with three other guys.
He does that a lot though. Didn't you have your biggest fan of the year on Strava is not me.
And workout partner. So Strava. Do you know what Strava is?
Yes.
Yeah. So we both
sorry, this not is sports talk that you don't
it's
get kinda to be
like
involved.
Sports talk. But with
my kind of
Strava, they have a year end of year
it's
report.
It's basically Spotify wrapped of your like workouts.
Yeah,
it's much better than it sounds.
But it changes every year.
It's really lame.
Well, no. So this year it showed who my bestie is. So like who gave the most likes to my workouts.
DK, I hope.
No, he was not.
Was he even on the top?
He was top three.
Okay, well that's all right. Thank God.
It's a quiz format, right?
What?
It was a quiz format. It asks you, who do you think?
Oh, yeah. It's a quiz format. Yeah. Yep. But
who's
no,
number one?
A dad from one of the Marin dads was number one.
That's kind of cool.
We're going. And okay. Then Nisha and DK were top three. But then there's who are your top workout partners? Like, who do you actually work out with? Because they sort of track that as well. Definitely Lifetime is DK.
Yeah, you guys are riding together.
That'll be like
every other day.
Pretty much impossible to surpass that. But not this year.
Yeah.
Nathan was number one, but DK was in the top three there too.
I don't even know Nathan, but.
He's another Marin. Yeah, I've got my own.
You got like a little like.
I got another
Marin,
soulful group.
The Marin dad mafia. Yeah. All right. I like it. Well, I have an app called, what's the app you always Strava? Mine's called Sauna, and it's tracked my top saunas of the year. And
are
turns
you being
out,
serious?
No.
All right,
but someone should build that for Nostra. It turns out it did Sauna.
You should vibe code it.
We're always assigning each other work.
I know exactly.
Let's talk about vibe coding a little bit.
Okay.
I know we talk about Matt Bliss in the show quite a bit because he's our favorite vibe coder.
And usually he's online. I don't know if he's here today. But
yeah, maybe he's.
He'll chime in. Yeah.
No one's chimed in yet.
Yeah, dude.
Everyone's away for the holidays,
exactly.
I guess.
Come on, man.
The last like 3-4 episodes, we've had incredible audience engagement. So we appreciate that. But yeah, vibe coding. So our friend Matt, he has vibe coded up a new app that DK and I have had the pleasure to test.
How am I left out, Matt?
He is prolific.
I want to see this out. Describe it.
We're not going to share the URL because it's not ready for
prime time.
Not ready for prime time, but it's
too many naps.
It's pretty,
Matt is in the house.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Matt, you got to share with me
Matt
too, homie.
It's called... I can't even call
it. Because you don't give away the URL, right?
Yeah. I tried to ask AI if it could deduce the URL and it couldn't figure that out. But anyway.
We've yet to
concept.
We'll show the concept.
All right.
So Bitcoin has the notion of time locks. Mm. I think most people in Bitcoin generally know that. But there's never really been that good of products built on it. I mean, protocols like Lightning it's a fundamental part of Lightning, use time locks and Arc, et cetera. And Spark, all these different technologies use time locks.
And we talked about last week, it would be cool if you had a product that was an application level time lock, but where you could just be like, I want this lock for 10 years no matter what.
Yeah. Well, now you've got that. Vibe coding it.
All right.
Matt vibe coded it. And
it's a
pretty slick UX workflow.
Okay.
So let's walk through it. So let's say I want to give a gift to DK.
Yeah.
Or I'll give it to Max. I'll give Max a gift, but I'm...
Thank you.
And the
actually, no, I'm going to shift back to DK because
you
ran our show through AI and it tagged me as like the what the
you're the builder,
the builder,
I'm the allocator.
Allocator, and he's the trader. He's the trader.
He's desperately
trader.
Looking.
AI for thinks he's a crypto trader.
Yeah, and it also called him Whoopi for some reason.
So so good. So I raise that because I'm worried that DK, if I gift him Bitcoin, he's just going to trade
just trade it. Yeah,
he's in a dump
get it right to yeah. some DeFi protocol.
He's worried about Quantum. He's in a dump it. So I want to give him
he's
this
got
gift.
Some Solana options or something. I don't know.
And lock it up.
Yeah.
Right. So with this new tool that Matt I could I can do that. So through a very simple interface, I can it basically sent he gets sent an email. And then he receives this email saying that like Steve created this for you, and if you want to claim it, like click here, and then claiming it reveals his private key, like the seed words.
Okay.
Which are
where's the private key before?
They're generated client side on his computer.
Okay.
In the browser. So I mean we can nitpick security and privacy can be improved, but like it's a very good like first attempt.
Okay.
I mean certainly this app by vibe coding it demonstrates what this product could look like, feel like.
Right.
And if someone thinks there's a real business or product there, then it could be further developed. But anyway.
And it's meant to be, by the way, that the receiver is kind of a noob, right? So the receiver doesn't have an existing wallet, may not have any Bitcoin, doesn't know how to manage private keys, doesn't know about seed phrases.
So this is like a gifting app too.
Yeah. I mean, it's an alternative to the gift cards we've talked about.
Okay.
So, so DK receives this email. He claims it by, revealing the seed phrase, and he has to secure that, store it in a password manager or offline or whatever. I would not recommend a password manager for large amounts, but if it's a gift amount, maybe that's a reasonable way to do it.
Yeah, it's a trader, so
anyway, they can add cloud back, whatever. We can afford that later. But that's how he claimed it. And then that triggers a notification to me as the sender to fund it.
Oh,
because
that's
I can't fund it initially because the wallet hasn't been created.
Super smart.
And he needs to create it, not me, otherwise I'd have the private key.
Right.
So then
that's a great idea.
Then
good
I
work, Matt.
Then I
thank you, by the way. Yeah. Matt says he's down to rug you guys, but not me. I feel slightly better now.
Yeah. And then so then I fund it. And also when I configure the gift, I choose the duration too.
Mm-hmm.
So in fact, I think, for the test, Matt gifted the two of us Bitcoin, which I think expires during the show.
Ooh.
Maybe yours have already expired.
You say expire meaning the time lock expires, and
so
now
we could spend it.
Yes,
yeah, mine I think will be towards the end of the show, and yours maybe earlier. But like ours should be available.
Would I have gotten an email about that?
You should get an email during the show.
Okay,
so if we need to take a quick minute.
I think at 1:26, I'll get my email.
Quick, remember exactly but what.
Taking a break to run Coinbase.
One day is obviously just a test.
Okay.
But in reality, you might choose a year or 4 years or what happens.
10 years,
right?
Yeah. Or you're like a baby, like 18 years, like a bond.
Yep. But it's like this.
That's, I think, a good business idea.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Because parents love that.
Yeah, Haley mentioned that a few months ago. We talked about it briefly on the show. So it could be that.
Yeah.
And this is real. It's mainnet. I checked on the blockchain, the transaction. It's really there. It really has a time lock. It's awesome.
Sweet.
And it's all vibe coded. No hand coding at all. Right. And then an idea I had to make, because if you choose like 4 years, if I gift someone this who's not a Bitcoiner,
right,
they're going to forget about it. They're going to like just probably forget about it, not pay attention.
Exactly.
So this product could like update them with like a newsletter like communication every once in a while. Not in an annoying way, but like if it's 4 years, maybe at least once a year, maybe twice a year, at most four times a year. But
only when it's 10x.
But that's it. I mean, you that communication you could include like, hey, first of all, like, hey, remember like how nice Steve was to give you this gift, and you have this gift.
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. But also price information and action, and like maybe some top news, and then also just a reminder of like the timer, like it's 3 more years until it's available or whatever.
I love it.
And like security best practices, so do that. Periodically
tax
and
advice.
keeps people excited and engaged. But I think it's super cool.
It's a great idea. This could actually be like a business.
Yeah.
It should be a business.
Yeah.
It's a great demonstration of a primitive for like the gifting or the baby bonds kind of thing, right? It's basically like it's all of the basic infrastructure you need. Now, it works itself as a product.
Right.
But you could actually layer on all kinds of other product and ideas services on top of it.
Totally, yeah. That's just like, I mean, it's almost like an exchange sort of.
That says 2 p.m. I forgot, the timer starts when he...
When he funds it.
First, no.
No?
Not when he funds it. When he first sends the email. He sent us the email at the same time. Ours expires at the same time.
Oh, okay.
Now, is this the kind
poor
of thing?
Timing, though, Matt, because it's half an hour after the show. So,
but anyway, you'll take a word.
We'll update in the new year.
It's incredible that, Matt, you were able to vibe code this. Like, that's gets me even more bullish on vibe coding. Is that the kind of thing that, like, my understanding was, like, for anything like dealing with private keys or whatever, you still probably want to, like, a human, like, really artisanal coding it still? Is this the kind of thing that, like,
it's, well,
do
Matt,
you feel
Matt,
like safe?
No, not really. But I mean, Matt's talking about like, what does he want to do with it?
It's a demo.
My understanding is at most, well, certainly a demo. And, you know, he may launch it, but like he already has a, you can only fund it like 2,500 Bitcoin. And by that, I mean, sats, right? So
hashtag
almost dust level on chain.
Right.
So whatever, even if this were a full blown product and business, you'd probably want to limit it and put some constraints on it. But you also want minimums too, right? Because you don't want dust level Bitcoin. So probably, cool. I thought the sweet spot for a product like this might be $1,000 to $10,000 gifts, like that range. Like enough to be meaningful, enough to avoid dust level concerns.
Right.
But not so much that security has to be like, you know, super.
Or maybe you can only do epic. Really small amounts if it's a really long time lock.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Like you can do $1,000.
It could be a function of time. But even that's it. If someone actually productized this, there's definitely like things to do for security and privacy to improve it.
If someone does productize this, hit us up. Like I think this is a phenomenal business idea.
Yeah,
and River too. Like you should just make your gifting flow better with this.
I think there's also a lot of like teachable kind of education moments that this surfaces. Totally. As I was going through it, I found myself kind of stuck in a few things with, you know, putting my hat on of like, hey, if I'm like noob, just getting into this, how do I understand what's going on here? There's a bunch of like what is these 12 words, what am I doing with them? Okay, where do I save them? Do I save it in a one password or somewhere else? Should I write it down?
Right.
It's just not natural. And then I think a noob would assume that, oh, well, I got an email from this guy. I'm sure that if everything goes wrong, I'll just write to him and get my Bitcoin restored. And it's not that way. That's not how Bitcoin works. That's how the service works, right? He's not building a custodial thing where he can help you recover it. So I think there's a lot of moments to like educate a noob about how do private keys work? And hey, you own the Bitcoin. We never touch it. Like make sure you hold these and, you know, stuff like that, introduce people to like Bitcoin concepts.
Yeah. And then they could have like, for example, like partnerships like with Square or something. And it's like, hey, I'm sure there's like all kinds of like, whatever, like referral fee opportunities too. It's like, hey, you could also just go get a BitKey and then do it with that.
I agree. So my understanding from Matt is that, he would love to see someone take this and run.
Yeah, me too.
You asked about security and human coders and stuff. Yeah, I think if you're going to really build this into a business, I think you can go to the one more level of depth and product-wise vibe coding, and then you absolutely would want at least an audit of the code by an experienced Bitcoin programmer to make sure that it's secure. So would love to see that. Now, another...
By the way, on that the audit, not suggesting that it shouldn't be done by a human, but I think before you get a human involved, that the first time you dispatch a bunch of commands to Replit and hope that it does something, you're kind of like probing around and trying to see if it kind of works and it's like prototype quality. I think that's like probably, you know, maybe that's the level that Matt has gotten it to at this point. But you could still take the underlying code and bring it outside into like a different, an LM that you have like a direct relationship with that's not trying to build it and just be like, here's the code for this thing. Like, should I be concerned about how the private keys are generated?
Well, it's already happening live.
Simplify it, et cetera.
Matthew's already said he's about to, quote, vibe hack Matt's project. So like, we don't even have to, like, this is the beauty of the internet.
Yeah. I think Matt did tell us that if anyone's interested to learn more about this project, reach out directly to Matt Bluz. I think that's his ex-handle. And if you can't find him, then you contact one of us.
Yeah.
And we'll put you in touch.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about the broader vibe coding community that he's thinking of.
Yeah.
Anything else, though, on this specific project?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunities around this. So, like, I would focus on the fact that it's a demonstration of what can be done, but think about all of the different UIs that could be built around this. So, sure. Like, you know, you want to do a gift for a newborn child that goes for 18 years or whatever, it's a college type thing. I think that's a great, you know, Bitcoin bond type of use case. There's a totally different UI you could imagine, which is like, I've been imagining this idea of like personalized, AI-generated personalized greeting cards. So like on Steve's birthday, we could create a greeting card with our faces in it doing something fun and silly together. And I'd be like, happy birthday, Steve. And it could come along with some Bitcoin, right? So I think in a sense, this is the foundational layer, but it's not just one product. It's almost like a foundation that could go in a lot of different directions.
Well, and that's why I said it feels like the early days of like an exchange. It's almost like an exchange. Like once you have an exchange, then you can build lots of products on top, like Bitcoin backed lending, like payment services, whatever. And but you need first to get the relationship with the customer and like someone that's like acquiring some Bitcoin. This is a great way, like a new novel way to do that.
Yeah, actually, two more points on this product. You know, the last couple episodes we talked about the gift card experience, and you know, I had. Yeah. High hopes for it. It was a little disappointing because of the significant friction on onboarding. This does not have that, right? So because there's no regulatory issues here. It's completely self-custodial. There's no licensed MSB. There's no regulatory requirements. So it's a very slick onboarding UX, which I think is great. And secondly, we talked about business model of gift cards. Gift cards, it's a tough business model because the middlemen have so much power that they extract all the margins.
Unless you go around them.
Well,
and you purely did it. Exactly.
Exactly. So this product goes around them. So the margins are like completely that service. Now you have to have a plan to acquire customers. You know, you're not at like Walgreens or a grocery store on a rack. You don't get that distribution, but you have to find new ways to distribute. But you capture all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking a little bit with Bob and he was giving me just a bit of an overview of the gift card landscape. These are massive companies, like tens of billions of dollars valuation. Like, I didn't realize how big.
Yeah.
So there's something there. I also, another flow that I would love to see that I think would be amazing. And again, each of these flows, like there's like kind of like scaffolding or like both UI, but also potentially some like legal stuff that needs like helping, right? So one that I think would be super dope is for charity or donations. So I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was Jack and Jay-Z funded one of these initiatives. And I think they did one in Brooklyn and one in Africa. And they like gave them like a Bitcoin endowment they couldn't touch for a long time. Mm. Amazing. Those two, whatever institutions are going to be balling out in 10 years. So imagine if anyone could do that. So it's like, okay, you want to donate to EFF. And it's like, well, I can give EFF a little bit of money now, but if I'm going to waste it, like whatever. Because it's a nonprofit, but if I give them whatever, like, you know, $1,000 today, and then you have like the UI around that, the deal's like, how do I get that in a tax deductible way? So it, like, you know, it's something that's a no brainer for me to do. I lock it up for them, and in 10 years, all of a sudden EFF is balling.
Yeah, that's a good, a V2 of this could introduce the layer of like, I give a gift of $1,000 or maybe $10,000.
Yeah.
And then it's in 10 $1,000 tranches.
Yeah.
And each, the time, you know, 1 year time lock, a 2 year, 3 year, all the way to 10 years.
Yeah.
Is another model as well. You can imagine giving this to your kids or your, you know, like nephews or nieces, all kinds of ideas. So
it's cool.
I think suffice to say, if someone wants to build this, and yeah, I think all three of us would be very interested in funding this.
I'm extremely interested. It's a really good idea.
I think it would be a great business.
It sounds like Matt may be leaving the Spiral team soon. I don't know. But
no, except Matt. We won't fund Matt because he has a full-time job. Anyhow, but no, the bigger, so another idea Matt has, and I'm eager to be part of it and help build it, is creating a vibe coding community. This is not fully baked, so I'm just like, there's early alpha on our show to share this idea. Get your guys, like, let's have a discussion about it here. And then, like, if the audience has any ideas, I'm sure Matt and the rest of us would love to hear about it. But, you know, anyone who's followed PBJ knows that DK and Matt, like Miles Suter, have done a lot of vibe coding in 2025. And it's really fun to follow that journey. I've done a little bit, and Max needs to.
Hey, but I've been using AI a ton lately. We'll talk about
that's
that.
Good. That's, yeah. So anyway, I think Matt's idea here is start with a small community of people like DK and Matt, and I want to participate as well. And I was speaking with Dustin earlier from Presidio Bitcoin. You know, he got second place in our hackathon in May.
I'm a big Dustin fan,
and he he's super excited about this community as well. But it would just be a community of people who vibe code, build apps together, but also like alpha testing, beta testing.
I love it.
Right? Because even though I have not been building a lot, I'm definitely like an avid tester of whatever DK or, and same with you, right?
Yeah.
What DK and Matt and others build. So this would be a group of, you know, everyone would be eager and excited to test and support others while also building their own stuff.
I love it.
You can imagine all kinds of idea generation. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea of having a place that's curated. So we just trust Matt's curation bar is going to be that everybody there has enough of the right context, motivation, and ethos. Yep. I think like the first users of such a thing should always be people who are like kind of like also, you know, hacking their own and wanting to, you know, game recognize game and see what you're doing, kind of show off a little bit of like, hey, I found a way to do this. Check it out, right?
Yeah.
I think that's almost like the healthiest kind of petri dish around which something new could grow. Versus, you know, just you could always create something, just like tweet it out, but that's a little diffuse. Versus this is more concentrated, high signal of other people who kind of get what you're doing and go on that journey with you. So I'm like very excited about that. Is he where does the sort of? I mean, he and I have chatted offline separately about this idea, but where do you think about the line of like, does it have to be Bitcoin focused vibe coding, or could it be things that may have a payment component that get discovered later? Like, how do you sort of think about what would be most productive there?
I think if it has Bitcoin payment in it somewhere, I don't think, in fact, I think explicitly it shouldn't just be like, this is a Bitcoin app. Like that's not the thing. I think using somehow Bitcoin Rails is amazing and that should be part of like payments.
Yeah.
But like, I would almost, I mean, not almost. I would much rather see something that's like, oh, this is just a cool app, and then later find out, wait, there's Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't discussed that with him, so I don't know what his vision is. But yeah, my opinion is it should not be, Bitcoin should not be required. It definitely shouldn't. I mean, what Max just said, it definitely shouldn't be you have to build Bitcoin apps. Right. And I don't even think Bitcoin payments has to be required. It's just like, build cool shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if now... the people who are going to be participating in this, at least initially, are going to be Bitcoiners. So we're going to be thinking about how does Bitcoin make this app better. So I have no doubt Bitcoin will be weaved in, but I don't think it should be required.
Yeah.
I also see.
Yeah, I agree. Matt's just agreeing with us.
Yeah, so Matt agrees.
Yeah.
Great. I see Austin joined the chat too, and he also participated in our hackathon. And I forget if you guys got third place or, I mean, you built whatever place you got. It was a compelling app and it was vibe coded.
Yeah, it was good.
I think you got third place. So,
you the way.
This seems like a community that would, you know, Austin would love as well.
And one thing that I would say is also, I would love to see also not only a bias towards Bitcoin, but really a bias towards Noster as well. Cause I think to me, a lot of the superpowers of these apps are going to be with the portable identity that you own or user owned portable identity with the social graph. Like one thing I would love to see, maybe it's not in V0, but like, you know, and I requested this from Matt and his impressionista.ai or dot fun. One of those. Anyways, is that, you know, I would love for every project to itself have an NPUB, which a Noster identity, such that you can easily publish that and just start collecting zaps, getting notoriety. Like having the platform itself be sort of Nosterified would be amazing.
Agreed. And I think that just makes me have even more conviction that this shouldn't be messaged and positioned as a Bitcoin thing or a Noster thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we want to attract people who identify as Bitcoiners or Noster ostriches or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So
Nostriches.
Nostriches.
Right. Sorry.
I'm not really in that club yet. But anyway. We want like a Silicon Valley type builder to join, and then they'll see others using Noster and what it enables uniquely and build stuff that, oh, I didn't realize that. And same with Bitcoin.
Yeah, right? I think it's great. It's like, you don't want to push people to be, hey, you got to use this technology. It's more like, go build whatever you want. And oh, there's things that you can't do the old way, but you can do this new way. Like this is available in case you need it, you know?
Yeah. And speaking with Dustin earlier this morning, he's excited about exactly what you said, not you know, Nostr within this community too.
Yeah, amazing. And even better if we can, you know, because we have Builder and stuff, we can just like demo stuff live too. So it's cool.
Yeah. So if anyone has any more ideas,
I think it's great,
share with us or contact Matt.
For sure.
Hopefully we get that going in January.
And is what's the status? It kind of is, it doesn't exist yet, or it's coming together?
Practically, what you, I'm thinking it should be a Discord community, but I don't know if Matt...
I think Matt, Matt I don't know what Matt's some thinking of this about. Happens on the MDK Discord today, I think in like a smallish way.
Oh, I haven't even joined the MDK Discord. I mean,
I didn't know there was an MDK Discord.
Me neither.
Well, I have not on it, but Matt has told me about it, so I don't know.
I think, you know, it would be super cool. So the MDK Discord, maybe that's a natural place to start it because they're already doing this so much. I mean, you don't want to like make it specific to one company, obviously.
Right. Yeah, there's probably the MDK Discord.
But I mean,
just kind of, it was bubbling up there. And I think he happens to engage there a little bit, but I think it's meant to be kind of a different thing.
But if that's where it is, I mean, so he's saying he plans a Discord community. That's cool. I do think though, it would be sweet over time. Maybe it starts in Discord because the tools are better, but I would love to see us also like dog food more of our like awesome Bitcoin tools, like a Stacker News. How dope would it be if you, I mean, yes, I mean, or even on Nostr, but like, again, I think there's so much power to this idea of eventually, you know, kind of like a, what was the, you know, like a product hunt or something. Like you just like feed stuff out and it just, you get zapped. And that's like the differentiator thing that people are just like, oh, sweet. Not only do I publish this thing and just like get some notoriety, but like, what? Like people are starting to win like real money on this thing too. Anyways, I would lobby for Matt, if you haven't played with the Stacker News communities yet, they're sweet. And I don't know, Nostr, Stacker News, eventually.
I think it's a good push. I'm not sure they're ready yet, but like without pushing and someone doing it, then it won't happen either. I think there could be promising integrations there. But first and foremost, I think it should be a slick communication tool.
I agree.
Yeah. And I hope I mentioned this yesterday and I mentioned this to Matt, last week in this forum and then also with Matt, but I really like Matt's kind of taste bar of like how focused something could be and should be. And I feel like if he can imbue that a little bit on some of the early people, it doesn't have to be a big ambitious startup. It's almost better to not be. It's almost better to just be a fun hack and something that you like and you want to show off and other people kind of can appreciate, but you could think of it almost like it's just a hack. It doesn't have to be like a company. It's in a sense, probably shouldn't be. That almost, it's like maybe not the right form for that kind of thing.
And something else would be super sweet. And we kind of talked, maybe this is like an organic way. It even grows into its own sort of product is like, you can also do, you know, if you have this on like a Stacker News community or sort of a Nostrified app, you can do bounties too. Like imagine someone's like, hey, this is really cool. Like what I did, remember last year in April, where I was like, I still really want a meme generator, someone to do a really good meme generator. Matt, maybe you're our guy, you're our best one, of just like, I want a very simple UI where I can look at all the memes that are out there and I can be like, whatever, here's like, you know, DK looking at a girl. Thank you.
You're vibe coding it right now. Go ahead.
Am I really? I want an app.
It can be that simple.
I want an app where I can get the top, whatever, 20 memes from the internet. I can make just a template. And once I make that template, it shares it as an MPUB to Nostr so I can start collecting sweet, sweet sats.
That's about all that's required to vibe code it. Literally just like download the Replit app.
All right.
Like what you just said.
Message received. I got a message.
Welcome to the club.
Anyway, if someone's listening.
They need to be on the Discord.
I offered and paid 100,000 Satoshi bounty. I'll do it again. And like, imagine that like flow, or cause like, I'm not going to like futz with this stuff. Like I will to a minute, but like if someone that can take this from whatever, like imagine people will pay bounties for cool shit. I will be the first one. So I already did to Lemon, that guy on Nostr. It's a Lemon. I don't even know who he is. Is he a human? I don't know. I don't even care. He made a decent first run, but it's not good enough. So
speaking of which, I think the number one funder of a built Nostr billboard in South America or something.
You like asked me about this every so often.
Did it actually occur?
Bro, in our chat several months ago, I also put my money where my mouth was too. We put in similar amounts and it did. But like,
and did you have a picture of it? You sent a picture of the billboard? Or?
I mean, I didn't have anything to do with the operations. Okay. I just thought it was a cool idea. Just like now, all I do is shit talk on television.
I just want to see a picture.
I showed it to you.
Oh, you did?
Go back in our signal chat.
All right. Yeah.
You asked multiple times. I said it to you more than once.
What are the impact metrics?
Probably zero.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, good attempt.
It was, you know, you try some things. Right? So.
Cool. Well, anything else on Vibe Coding community you want to cover? Or
should we move to
predictions?
Yeah, make an AI conclusion. That just builds my bounty projects. That'd be cool. Austin, if that's you, bro.
Like any project you hear brainstormed on PBJ should have a URL.
I agree. I mean, seriously, you could just like feed all of our PBJs through an AI and be like, here's 20
ideas. What app should we make for Max?
All right, so it's the end of the year. Or people should know. So I think we decided we're not going to do PBJ the day after Christmas. But we will do the day after New Year, like January 2nd.
Feliz Navidad to all who celebrate.
So this will be the last episode of 2025. This episode's number 52. So very good job, guys.
Nice. Yeah, we made it.
Thanks for those sticking with us. Yeah. Let's review 2025 predictions, which we made a year ago. And then if
we made them at the end of 2024, right? Or just the beginning of 2025.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if we have any new predictions.
Yeah. And it's just a meta point on that. I will say, so I've been using, even though I don't really vibe code yet, maybe one day, I have been playing a lot with Gemini 3, the like super pro model. It's amazing. However, not as good as I was hoping. So for this show, we were discussing whether or not we're going to do predictions. And Steve graciously offered for one of us to, quote, do the homework of actually looking at the old predictions. So I did. I just fed it to my homie Gemini 3.
So what did you do?
How did you
feed? Like a YouTube URL?
Yeah. So
you fed the video to
That's right. So you shared with us, I don't know, like a week or two ago, a video that was timestamped to where we were doing the predictions. And you were like, wow, we did really poorly. And I listened. I was like, yeah, we did. And then I fed that to Google and I was just like, well, at first I fed the whole video and interesting because it actually surfaced one more prediction that's not on the list you guys got. And I'll mention that because it's interesting that came kind of earlier in the show. And then I was like, well, just keep it to the actual prediction section at this timestamp. And, you know, it fed them out. It took out for each of us to various predictions. Although I think it got wrong a couple of like who made which predictions because I listened to it again this morning myself. So not perfect. And the analysis was like
poor.
Yeah, mediocre on some, poor on others. So anyways, point being, it was, and I think that's kind of the danger with AI still is like, it's really good in certain things. So you're like, oh, like it's actually helped me with a lot of stuff.
Believable.
Yeah, exactly. It's believable. And so then you're like, oh, like I'll just roll this. One other quick, I guess, prediction before we get into Bitcoin stuff. One of my predictions in playing with all this AI is it's both good and bad. But this model to me, Gemini 3, definitely represents a major jump from everything I've used in the past. So even though it's not perfect and there's still mistakes and hallucinations, whatever, like it's getting a lot better. But there's the danger in that is one thing I think AI is going to do, this is the first prediction, is it's going to, I think, put people more in their own kind of like weird warped reality bubbles. So as an example, in preparing for this show, been chatting with my homie Google. And we came up with our own like kind of like list of possible predictions for this year. I didn't have time to listen to it. Now, one way that AI has changed my life, and I want to give a shout out to DK for this, is I've been using, even though here's another bounty app that I would like. I've been using 11 Reader to just feed articles in and listen to it like a podcast. Cause I don't know if I just like have developed ADHD over the years, but I can't like fucking sit at a computer and fuck with stuff. I like to walk. You know, I've been walking almost 15 miles a day. I'm a big walker. And when
15 miles a day?
Yeah, I've been going crazy.
Is that for over what period?
The last couple days. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I did a week of 10 miles a day.
Yeah.
And that was a lot.
Changes your life. But the reason is because like now that I have this new superpower, like I feel like if I'm sitting inside as the days get shorter, I just like, I feel just angry. The light is gone. I don't like it. But if I'm walking and now I can queue up here the 10 articles or things I need to think about or I'm like learning, like I feel like my learning rate is vertical with this 15 mile. It's not exactly 15, it was like 14 and a half, but still, who's counting besides me?
What's your annual daily?
I don't know, let's see.
Annual daily?
I don't always have my phone, so this is not perfect. Let's see what we got here.
My December's always really low. So I'm really working to try to keep the December up, but with this atmospheric river, I'm worried.
Bro, I'm about to just absolutely obliterate your December. Do you even want to know?
Okay, I do want to know.
You want to know for the year or you want to know for December?
Let's I want to know for the year.
For the year?
Yeah.
7.7.
Is that miles?
Yeah.
What is it in steps? I don't know.
Man, you got to always do these damn currency conversions.
No, just go to the steps section.
I'm getting there, bro.
Do you know your number?
Yeah, do you know yours?
Yeah, it's like 15,000.
Yeah.
Per day.
per day
for the year,
for every day of the year. Yeah, wow. The average.
I'm at 15,440.
Okay, so we're about the same. So I guess I can say I do 15 miles a day. It's fine.
No. Because 15 miles, that's a new one. Hold up, bro.
I think I'll be at like 7,000 or 8,000, despite running and biking a ton.
Don't be getting all crazy. For the week that I've been like up in my game, yeah, and this is not whatever, I'm at 20,388. Wow. And to be clear, on my good days lately, I've been between 26 and 29.
Very nice.
But that's a lot. And you're exhausted. By the end of the day, you hurt. You feel so good. It's like, I'm like, but the thing is, it's like, I'm actually getting more done because now, yep, when I had this 11 readers app,
yep, so good,
I can just like, I've had like 10 things that I wanted to go through. And I literally just, I hate sitting at the computer now. Yep. I can't do it. But if I feed them now, I'm just like, I'm listening to it. And the great thing is, and this is where one of my predictions is, people are going to start getting their own warped reality levels, which is not necessarily good. Because now what I'm doing, I did this last night to prepare for the show. I was like, all right, listen, Google, we go back and forth. All right, I don't got time to read all your stuff right now. I want you to export this.
I'm happy for you.
Exactly. I'm going to let you finish. But first, I'm going to export this, load it up in 11 Reader, and then I listened to it like a podcast. And I was like, damn. But here's the thing. Because I was, when you really push Google into an area like Bitcoin or energy stuff that I actually know pretty well, it's like you listen, you're like 80, 90%. Like, that's really good and convincing. And then every once in a while, I'd be like, wait a second. That's wrong. And so you kind of got to test the limits with something you actually know to see where the edges are. But still, I mean, but the thing is, it sounds really compelling, and some of it was genius and some of it was bullshit. So I think people are going to increasingly, but you can make it say whatever you wanted, right? So people are going to go in their own little reality bubbles where, you know, I was thinking, you know, I don't know, like Nick Carter's into stablecoin. So he can probably have one where he talks about stablecoins. I'm, you know, into like Bitcoin payments. So I hear one where it's going to be Bitcoin payments. Like, everyone can hear their own version.
Are you feeding it stuff that you want to read?
You're feeding it.
Are you using it for any discovery or? It's a lot of steps, dude.
I know. Yeah.
Do you even walk, bro?
Dude, give me a walk. I know. It's kind of crazy. It's, yeah. Well, it's also like it's the winter. You know, I need that light.
Yeah.
Anyways, but the point is, like, you can make it say whatever you want it to say.
Yeah.
And so it's like in the current reality bubble world, you can find, like, if you want to listen to Alex Jones, there's Alex Jones. If you want to listen to whoever's the other equivalent of Alex Jones, you can find that.
Like Ideas from the Edge.
Yeah. But now everyone can have their own custom reality tunnel. And that's, I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's new.
Yeah.
So 2025. So
he's like, stay on topic.
Come on. Yeah, exactly.
We have
reality tunnel.
The list, thanks to AI.
Yep.
How do you want to do this? You want to start with yours?
Sure. However you want to do it. I mean, I don't have the list in front of me, so
I have it in front of me.
All right.
I'll, Steve Rutherford.
Bitcoin price will rip to $500,000 in 2025.
That was DK, right?
That was me. What?
I would say it's a joke. It says Max.
That doesn't sound like the kind of thing a trader would say.
And I'm gonna dump it before it does. Dump at the highs, baby. I just want to say, I think it got some of these like labeled by the wrong person. So just whatever, we'll get to that. But yeah, dude, I was,
the 500K was you though.
I was super wrong. Yeah, like, you know, I'm still trying to understand what is. I mean, the good news is whatever. Like, I don't really care. Like, timing is kind of relevant. I'm you know, long term thinking. But it is interesting to me because it's like, you know, I did think we were going to have more of a traditional cycle. We haven't had a traditional cycle at all. In fact, if you price it in gold like Danny does, we didn't even have a bull run. I think maybe we're up a few percentage points or something. Like,
it's, Bitcoin's down versus gold over 5 years.
Down versus gold. Yeah, down versus Tesla a lot too, as DK and I discussed yesterday. But it's down versus a lot of things, AI stocks. But specifically, like, it hasn't even had a bull run. Like, I forgot where I saw this on Twitter, but someone was making the point where if you price and adjust for inflation dollars, even where it was at the high in 21, at the blow off top versus now, and you adjust for inflation, it's like similar.
Yeah.
It's not like a clear bull run at all. So I was super wrong about it. I'm surprised. Now, you know, I maybe the 4 year cycle stuff is breaking. My strong suspicion is, and this is just, you know, the purpose of a system is what it does. So I'm not saying it should be different, but I think one thing I was wrong about is, like, in the same way that I thought it was going to rip higher in the first cycle in 21, and then it turns out FTX was just printing paper Bitcoin. Like, I think the price would have gone way over 69K the first time, if not for that paper printing. My guess is there's one day we're going to discover that, like, turns out the whole financial system is like FTX on steroids somehow. And there's like all kinds of shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's just at a much bigger scale and the whole system is like that. Yeah. And so, you know, whatever, but yeah, but I was just super fucking wrong. And, it's disappointing.
Can't we say that the 4-year cycle has been broken? I mean,
yeah, I guess
even the last cycle, it was a little different. There were a couple bounces to 60Ks.
Yeah.
And which was not a similar pattern. And this one, the 4-year, I forget the exact timing, but basically by the end of this year, it should have it should have ripped. We should be at a blow off top. Right around now is when we hit, start the decline to a bear market.
Which
we're sort of in, but we never had any kind of rip.
I know this sounds like a dumb question, but I'm just going to ask the dumb question. What the heck is the 4-year cycle? Like, is it a calendar year? Is it based on the halving?
It's post-halving.
So it lines up from halving to halving, or
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, and to be clear, I mean, we still did have like...
And how many verified kind of sequences are there? 4 of them have happened? And they've...
We're in the 3?
We're in the 4th. Fourth,
yeah.
Okay.
And to be clear, I mean, if you look back 2 years ago, and by the way, just everyone's like, oh, Bitcoin is so down. I mean, 2 years ago, we were 30K at Christmas. So like, I mean, just everything in perspective. Now, someone would say...
Is that high or that was low?
Well, that was low. I mean, like we were obviously higher than that. So my point
but
is
at the time it was higher or low.
Yeah. And you saw, you know, Bitcoin price action go higher prior to the halving than it had in prior cycles. And part of that was because ETFs got approved. I mean, I don't know. It's just like, I'm not saying halvings are irrelevant. Like obviously reducing the supply is going to increase price in some way, shape or form. I mean,
know that's going to happen.
Well, and so that's the question is it getting priced in earlier? And
I don't think it's possible to price it in.
Yeah.
Which is a whole nother, maybe we talk about that. Yeah. If you actually believe you can price it in, I think it's a fascinating discussion, but I'm quite convinced you can't price that in.
Yeah. Well,
it's kind of like people talk about the inflation rate of Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin has an inflation rate. We know what the inflation rate is and it will eventually hit the 21 million, but it's not actually there, right?
Yeah. And I just want to agree
with
Matthew. I mean, I was super wrong on my prediction. Like I'm clearly not a trader. So, I mean, from now on, if you want price action, talk to DK.
But we have a lot of predictions. So let's stay on track. So, because we've only gone through
more
one of like 20 okay. And we have to do next year and we have other topics.
Wow. And we got like 400 more. Oh, so
what a job.
Okay. All right.
What a
multiple
job
breakout Lightning Network applications with millions of dollars flowing through them.
Yeah. So I would say the spirit of this was wrong. It didn't break out as much as I thought it would. However, as I did do a little bit more sort of research and reflection on this, I don't know. Again, with Lightning, it's hard to know the actual numbers. You know, you saw the announcement of Speed Wallet getting funded. They claim that they have like a ton of volume and, you know, in excess of millions of dollars.
This has processed over $1.5 billion in annual volume.
Yeah, to me sounds like
an AI hallucination.
Extremely dubious and skeptical, but maybe. And if so, you know, that would be.
Can we just get a refresher? I know I shared in the group and you guys are like, we already talked about that, but what is Speed Wallet?
It's the guy who's the payment processor for Steak and Shake.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Anyways, point is.
Also a lot of gaming and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the games or they're the wallet to the gambling. But
yeah. I mean.
So I think there is real growth there. There's real activity.
There's real activity.
I don't know if there's billions of dollars, but it's.
Well, and to be clear, I said millions. So if they're claiming billions, like probably.
Well, no, the AI hallucination is claiming $1.5 billion.
Anyway.
It's not an AI hallucination. That was in the press release for
I'm quite certain there's real activity there.
Yeah, there's real activity there. Like we know there's volume on Cash App. Like that has grown. We know that the exchanges. Well, I mean, a year ago, Coinbase didn't even have Lightning, right? Or 2 years ago. So like, that's probably grown. So I would say technically I could probably squeeze this to be yes, but the spirit of what I thought was no, because I thought we're going to have some like clear breakout winners.
Right. All right. Your next one. Prediction markets on Bitcoin will emerge.
Yeah, they emerge. Well, predicts.
Predicts.
Yeah. I don't think they got as big as I thought against Spirit, but like, yeah,
and this has binomial secured CFTC clearance for Bitcoin-based prediction markets.
We have to ask Matt Wraith about that. I don't know anything about that. That was an AI comment. But if Bitnomial is doing Bitcoin-based prediction markets, that'd be interesting.
Multiple Nostr apps will process millions in payments.
Yes.
Specifically naming Primal.
That's definitely no. But when I re-listened to what I was talking about today, I don't know if the AI got this exactly right. I think the payment part was totally wrong. I did say we're going to have, you know, breakout Nostr apps in addition to what we have. And again, the spirit, what I said, it was a little too bullish. However, I actually thought more about this and I was like, in a way, not the payment volume piece, but the user piece is yes, with BitChat. I mean, BitChat, I would argue, is probably the most popular Nostr app ever. So in the same way we're talking about Bitcoin.
And notably, it doesn't claim to be a Nostr app.
Exactly. So in a weird way, yes, on the user front, definitely not on the payment front.
Yep. Your next one, first AI agent to become a multimillionaire using Bitcoin and Lightning.
Again, it kind of like said that, what's his name?
Truth Terminal, right?
The ghosty dude. Yeah, Truth Terminal. Yeah, but that already happened. It had happened the year before. So, I mean, technically in a court of law, maybe, but like, but no.
Next one, Twitter or X.
Lightning.
Yeah, that's
we'll integrate Lightning for mainstream volume. Next one, Nostr will be used for authenticity verification to combat deepfakes.
Not really.
No.
And the last one from Max, the U.S. government will nationalize MicroStrategy.
No, now to be clear, that's AI is wrong on that because I was not saying that would happen this year.
So part of your 2025 predictions.
But in general, I still believe that's going to happen, that they will nationalize.
I think there's a risk of that, yeah.
I think that's going
to
happen.
I don't think it's a crazy idea.
Apparently, David only had two predictions.
Yeah, I think the AI got this wrong.
A celebrity will emerge specifically because they earned a substantial amount of Bitcoin, human or agent.
So what? Your AI said verdict correct, but I think, again, it's replying, affirming the Truth Terminal thing, which was 2024.
So. Yeah, and you also said, like, someone's going to, like, get famous for earning Bitcoin. Truth Terminal didn't even earn Bitcoin. Right, some like shitcoin. So.
Okay.
Okay. Next one. U.S. government will co-opt or nationalize Bitcoin-related assets.
Co-opted 200,000 BTC held by the DOJ, formerly slated for auction.
Yeah, but the spirit of that is lame. Okay. Like... Yeah, they said they're not going to sell what they already had. Like, okay.
All right. Now we'll rattle through mine. So Lightning Network will grow explosively. Did I actually... I'd have to go... That doesn't sound like how I would...
Steve.
Yeah, again, I think it's... I mean,
it's not...
Listening again today this morning, you said something along the lines of agreeing with the spirit of Max. So...
Yeah. Okay. And then I definitely remember the next one. A major mining pool will adopt Stratum V2. And that has not occurred, despite AI saying it occurred. That's not occurred. Not so not what I was. Oh, the AI is wrong in almost all of these.
Yeah, shit. Be careful out there.
So not yet. Not yet, but I remain bullish on that. Next one. There will be no consensus rule changes in 2025. So that's the only one
that's
really clearly was correct.
Yeah. It turns out if you claim Bitcoin doesn't
arguably
change,
not going out on a huge limb, saying there won't be consensus changes in a year.
I would just like to make a prediction that the sun will come up tomorrow. Has everyone got that? Are we on record?
Next one. The next change. Oh, the next consensus change will be the Great Consensus Cleanup in 2026.
We'll
find out. And then a couple more. Several major Bitcoin brands will adopt Bolt 12. Well, we are up to it. So I'd call this a miss. The good news is like a couple dozen applications support Bolt 12 now. So it's got a lot of support, but it doesn't yet have Cash App or what I was imagining.
I would say Phoenix is a major brand.
Okay, good. Well, then but I was imagining like Cash App, Coinbase, et cetera.
Yeah.
Cash App is now on public record saying it's the roadmap and it'll happen next year.
That's so big.
And then my last one was, and this is the audacious one, Meta will acquire Lightspark. And that did not occur. So TLDR for predictions.
We sucked.
Yeah, did a horrible job. But honestly, like I actually...
But now we're going to come and make some 2026
one. But guys, we learned now this different.
Now you can believe us for 2026.
Yeah, listen.
We know what we're talking about.
We're going to stop printing money. Inflation will go down. And there's too many damn billionaires.
So, but I think another way to judge predictions is like, would you make them again? Like, would we make these for next year? Like,
we got the timing.
You can be directionally wrong,
direction correct,
or timing wrong.
That's a good point.
And my assessment of most of these,
it's just too early.
I think too early,
as always.
So, I mean, part of my 2026 predictions,
we could just recycle all of them. Probably.
Literally, I would recycle all of mine. So the only one.
If anyone wants to be rich as fuck, listen closely for the next 30 minutes of Beth the Opposite of Casual. So I believe we've been moved from The View to Jim Cramer.
Yeah. We've moved from The View to Jim Cramer. Yes, yeah. I like that. Yeah. All right. I would actually say, yeah, I will take all of my 2025 predictions, move them to 2026, yep. Yeah, including bumping up the Great Consensus Cleanup from a 2026 to a 2027 prediction.
2027, meaning you're going to skip 2026.
I don't think it'll activate in 2026.
Okay.
So literally just bump everything up by one.
Well, you know what? If we're going to do that, let's just say, yeah, but let's give ourselves the next decade, right? We'll check back when you're listening to 2035. Saying,
so are you going to rip to 500K?
Yeah, for sure. Check it back in 2035.
I don't like doing price predictions, but since you gave a price prediction,
I'm out of that game.
What is your peak price prediction in 2026?
I'm out of that game.
Okay.
I do have predictions.
I don't want to make a price prediction number, a specific number, but I will say I don't really buy 4-year cycle theory as being like a real thing. I just think there's too many other confounding.
I mean, it was, to be clear.
I mean, historically, you can look at any data set and shape it to some narrative you want. You can.
You don't think that having played a role early on?
Maybe. I don't know.
You don't think cutting from 50 to 25?
These are very complex systems. I think it's hard to make concrete judgments about exactly what happened and why it happened. Like, I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, look, we observed this phenomenon. These numbers occurred in this way. But I don't think it's like a thing. I think it's more like
I observe this weird phenomenon where if I take water and move it to 32 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit, all of a sudden
that is very different. I actually do. I think with a Bitcoin audience, what DK is saying is maybe outrageous, but I definitely agree with you in general.
I agree,
overfit data,
yeah,
all the time. So
exactly, Matthew. Right, DK, money printing doesn't affect that. Listen, there's this phenomenon. We have this, like, we don't know why the prices go up. I mean, it could be correlated. You know, cigarettes may cost.
My own opinion, though, I think that there is substance. I mean, it is definitely factual that the halving takes away supply.
Yeah.
And miners are a different type of seller than a regular person. Like as a miner, you have expenses, that are denominated.
You have to pay.
So, and usually, in general, you're forced to sell at whatever the current market rate is. Right. Whereas, like anyone listening or us, like we can choose to, if we don't like the current price, we can just keep holding it or whatever. So that forced selling definitely puts downward pressure on the price, and that gets reduced every 4 years. So that's non-debatable. I also think there's been it's become a marketing event which enters the consciousness of people, which I do think impacts trading and timing. Like in a bear market, I think there's a ton of people who have already become convinced that Bitcoin's a great investment at that point. And then they love a bear market because they don't have enough.
Right.
But they don't buy it like right away. They kind of expect it to be 12, 18, 24 months before the next bull market. So they wait to allocate later and it just becomes a thing. So I think those two are true. But obviously the first one gets diminished over time and now it's almost negligible.
And I agree, like over time, like complex systems are going to be complex systems and we're heading.
You've heard of the Santa Claus rally in the stock market?
No.
So which is a good point, but
same
also
thing.
That sounds like bullshit.
I've created a list of like 21 reasons people sell, right? And so it's a complex system. That's why when people say like, oh, I'm surprised the price didn't move on this event, event, it's like, well, because there's a million different variables that go into the price of Bitcoin.
Like there may be a bunch of OGs selling calls on IBIT right now, right? That's like a theory that I think somebody shared in the chat. Like probably the case. How much does that impact the up or down? Like
I agree with you today, but I think early on, cutting the supply in half is like a major, to me, obvious shock to the system. But regardless, we can't just roll our predictions forward. That's super lame.
No, what I'm saying, the thing I was going to give is I think the 4-year cycle is an overfit and it has nice narratives around it, but I think it's overfit. I don't think it's real. So I think we're about to enter the fourth year, is it now? Like we're ending the one that should be down.
I don't even remember.
If you subscribe to the 4-year cycle, we should have just blown the top off.
And next year should be a bear market.
Entering the bear market.
Which means we're probably going to rip
up. So I'll make the call that I think it's all bullshit. And I think we'll go higher in 2026.
Well, I will also say we'll go higher.
Despite the 4-year cycle, shouldn't we be down?
What? I'm saying the 4-year cycle, I'm willing to open to concede that it's gone now. I think early on, it's pretty clear to me, but at this point, I would say complex systems are going to complex. Anyways, I think we should do real predictions, guys. This is lame. We can't just roll them.
Okay, I'll give you a real one.
I've got a whole list of them.
You want to go first? I only have a few.
So. You go first. I got to pull mine up.
Vibe-coded Bitcoin payments with at least one example as some interesting moment. So I think there's going to be some, kind of like what I said with the agent stuff, I think there's going to be somebody, like Matt, who has already demonstrated on a small scale that a bunch of people are using the software he built and paying him in Bitcoin to use the software that he built on a very small scale, but it's people he doesn't know. I think that we're seeing a very early indication of what that looks like. I think there's going to be some mainstreaming of that phenomenon in 2026. My guess is that probably it's likely to happen in the virtual halls that, you're familiar with. So maybe in Matt's Discord or something would be the kind of place that would instigate.
What specifically? An app will be built that does payment?
That has some sort of notoriety that some, I don't want to.
He said have a moment, whatever that
have
means.
Have a moment.
He's leaving himself a lot of work.
I'd say Truth Terminal had a moment. You could argue it wasn't a moment. I think it was a moment.
I can already predict.
Yeah, but that moment happened before your prediction.
Here's my prediction. That AI will say you're correct on that in 1 year from now.
But I think we should be able to
what
look
a great
back
prediction, DK. Let's discuss.
We got to look back and be like, oh, that was obviously, that was the one. Okay. That thing killed
me. I understand the spirit of what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you could probably quantify it by saying there's a lot of users. I don't know how many you want to say, tens of thousands.
A lot of users,
thousands,
a lot of
millions.
Revenue, some sort of big moment where wow, that's the guy who made the thing that made the money that, wow, you can actually vibe code things with Bitcoin and make
excellent
money.
Excellent description. Amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
How about there's a Wikipedia page for it. Is that a good
Okay. Yeah.
So that kind of I don't know too many things to get their own Wikipedia page. One would be the $1 million homepage. You all remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Something of that level?
I mean, yeah, I'd say the Wikipedia page comes once it has so much notoriety and so much durability. So I don't know if I'd say that the Wikipedia page arrives. Does Truth Terminal have a Wikipedia page? Maybe.
Probably,
yeah. So something in that scale. It's not like Facebook or something, but it's notable enough.
Yeah.
Moment, yeah.
Okay.
That's one. Did you want to share one or should I give you another?
I'm going to be a listener.
Okay. Yeah. You roll yours through and then I got mine.
Okay. So somewhat related to our human Bitcoin addresses discussion from last week.
Are you going to relitigate that?
Well, no, because I think Steve's takeaway was DK and Mac
don't care about privacy
or security or any Bitcoin principles. DK and Max don't care about that.
Wild trader heathens. Well, trader and alligator heathens. There's levels.
But I think so my next prediction is that it's very abstract, but it's that some new naming convention finally gets reasonable consensus and traction. And I think human Bitcoin addresses, BIP353 is a great candidate. We've seen UMA from Spark and Spaces Protocol, and there's a bunch of things, and I could see several of these things coexisting in the future, but I think we'll see some new type of, new meaning, something that is not yet widespread today will become pretty much a standard within 2026. People are that's the one we use.
Anchored to Bitcoin or no? You may have insider info.
No, I'm not going to say anchored to Bitcoin. I'm just going to say useful for Bitcoin addresses.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your last one?
4-year cycle's dead. 2026 yeah. Entire. Right.
That's again,
it's not a real thing.
The sun will come up. All right. I got a bunch. Shall we roll? Shall we rock? To start this one, I wasn't sure I asked AI, but if you guys had to guess how many, let's say, monthly active Lightning Network users are there? Good to guess.
Lightning Network users, meaning
someone who sends or receives a payment on Lightning Network.
Is that knowable?
No, it's not. So,
but yeah,
we're just guessing.
Let's each come up with a number before we say it. Yeah. Hold on, give me a moment.
Steve's checking the newsphere. The Akashic Records.
Monthly
send to receive.
If you want to do daily or weekly,
no,
I don't care.
It's not.
Pick your.
Yeah. I just want to Okay, I have a number. Yeah. You guys have a number?
Yeah.
This is monthly active. Yeah, 75,000.
You think it's that low? Wow. Okay, what's yours?
I was 100.
I was a million.
100,000.
How did you get to a million?
Well, I just think about
just
like
be more bullish.
Yeah, just be more bullish. I mean, think about anyone that does like a payment in or out from an exchange like River, Coinbase, anyone that's using, I mean, Cash App. I know you guys have like people withdrawing.
Like how many? I'm not going to be able to answer this, but how many Cash App users do you think are monthly active Lightning users?
I thought it was six figures, but apparently not. If yours was
six figures. Blinked twice.
Okay. All right. Well, why don't we say 100,000 as like something around there? So my first prediction, even though we're just making that up, is that we're going to have at least an order of magnitude more users, monthly active Lightning Network users, probably more than that. And specifically, the vast majority of them are going to come from Cash App. And I think we're going to see the narrative play out. I think maybe it was Matt who gave me this idea, so I'll give a shout out to Matt Belez, that like we're going to see accept Lightning to let Cash App users pay. That's going to be a narrative. If you want to let Cash App users pay with no fees, use Lightning. And so I think we'll go, if it's 100,000, I think we'll go to at least a million, probably more, and the majority will be from Cash App.
So Nick says 20,000.
That low?
Nick, just to confirm.
Is that plus monthly actives?
I'm curious, actually, Nick's take on this. How many monthly active Lightning users
do you
are
think
today?
Yeah, how do you think, Nick?
And then while we're waiting for that, I would want to point out Deanna's prediction that there will be over 100 episodes of PBJ by the end of 2026.
Oh, so that is Nick's. So 20,000 is his number.
Wow. Okay. So let's say at least an order of magnitude, I'll just say a million. I think we get to at least a million people using Lightning monthly active. I actually think it's going to be more than that. And I think the majority are going to be from Cash App.
Okay. So are they going to be online or offline?
What do you mean?
Meaning, is it going to be people using like a Vibe-coded app? Or is
either
it
way,
be
I count going to a Square terminal as part of it. All of the above.
But I'm saying if you had to sort of break it down, is it mostly coming from one or the other? Because there's a lot of growth in there, right?
So, I think there's going to be a lot of growth first on the in-person stuff from all the things we're doing and Square is doing. And then I think that's going to get people using it, which is going to open up other experiences. And I'll get to a few of what I think those experiences are going to be. But in general, I'm going to say at least a million active monthly, million monthly active users on the Lightning Network, the majority of whom are using Cash.
So first of all, I like the prediction.
Yeah.
I agree with the million. I don't agree with the majority.
Okay, he says he meant daily, 100K monthly.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it's DK, more. Nick, and I are all, I mean, I said 75, 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same. But
I continue to be too bullish. I
think Cash App will see tremendous growth. I don't think it'll be the majority of the million. I mean, think of all the new Spark-enabled wallets.
Totally.
Wallet of Satoshi already has a lot of users. I think they'll grow.
So that makes me even more bullish.
Yeah. So I think Cash App won't be the majority, but
I think it's going to be the majority. And the million. If it's not, I will be thrilled because I think Cash App is still going to lead the way. So even if it's not the majority, I think it'll be the plurality. And if it's not the majority, then that makes me more bullish. So I would love to have that be the case. Okay, so that's my first prediction.
Good.
My second prediction, and you're going to love this one. I swear I didn't plan this. MDK specifically is going to get major adoption and power, I'm going to say, tens of thousands of new apps, at least, Vibe-coded apps. I think specifically MDK is going to be the most popular way to add payments on Replit, so much so that Amjad and co. are going to notice and either in some way, shape, or fashion, I'm not going to predict how they're going to do it, try and add Bitcoin payments in themselves once they see the success.
Love it. Tens of thousands is aggressive.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. Very aggressive, but I love the direction of that prediction.
I love it directionally. I think it's going to be hard for any platform.
Yes, I am, as Matthew says. Break my own bags, will pump. I am manifesting. I will continue to do that. But I also believe. I'm an investor because I believe. So. All right, so that's my second one. Number three, I think we're going to see the first site where a demonstration of the thesis that you monetize energy in whatever way it pays the most. And so I think we're going to see the first site that's explicitly designed with both GPUs for inference and ASICs for mining, and the first example of real-time electrons moving between the two based on whichever will pay more.
Say that again.
We're going to see the first example of a site where someone builds a site specifically with both GPUs to offer AI inference and ASICs to offer Bitcoin mining, and in real time shows they basically have software deciding the electron goes one way or the other based on whichever will pay more.
Between ASICs and GPUs?
Yes.
For like inference workloads?
Yes.
Okay. Why? I'm not sure I understand what the spirit of what it's trying to communicate.
So this is part of a much longer conversation. Tune in next year to Ideas from the Edge. Got to give a shout out to my guys, Tomas and Ocampo and John Komkov. But I think the biggest story of the 21st century is the commodification of labor and capital, and that it's all photons and electricity at the end of the day. And so I think the big story is that for the first time, you're going to have fungible markets for labor, which is compute now, and capital, which is Bitcoin. And the sort of like the hurdle rate you have to clear to get labor is the what you're being paid from the Bitcoin network, which is the capital rate.
But if I understand correctly, if you buy a bunch of mining equipment, you want full utilization.
Not necessarily. You may have, as we talked about in 2021 in the paper, I think this is finally going to happen, depreciated ASICs on site where you could just like back and forth route.
Okay, when you say between GPUs and ASICs, you're talking about GPUs for AI workloads and ASICs for Bitcoin mining, not ASICs for AI workloads.
Correct.
Okay, that's what I was trying to clarify. Okay.
Physically located, co-located, that you can route between them, specifically designed for this purpose.
I think it's going to be tough with the, you know, Bitcoin mining is very, in a sense, like practical, mercenary. It's like, what do I put in and what do I get out today? GPU and inference is all about like, well, it's serving something today, but it's serving something to try to gather market share from somebody else in the future, and different people can have 10-year time frame on when they need to sort of recoup all that. So I'm cautious about being so like easy to switch from one to the other.
Cool.
So
I'm pretty confident on this one.
Yeah. All right.
Hold on. I absolutely believe in a future where they'll be discounted. An older generation of ASICs for Bitcoin mining that are not energy efficient anymore relative to their competition. So big in, farms paying 4, 6, 8 cents for electricity literally would just take them offline because they're not profitable. And then if there's no market for them, they're literally, they priced at zero or maybe even negative because you have to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And then if you have renewable energy where your energy is zero or negative, you're happy to take zero or negatively priced equipment. And even if you only get to run it 20% of the time, you're profiting. Mm-hmm. So I totally believe in that. But I'm not sure I understand a vision where I buy this old equipment. I also buy all these like GPUs or TPUs or whatever. And then I have energy available 100% of the time. Like, why wouldn't I just buy the AI stuff and run that 100% of the time? What advantage am I getting by buying?
Well, for one, you may be limited on how many chips you can get. You might be using old NVIDIA chips as well. And this might allow you to overbuild and build something much bigger than you thought you were otherwise going to be able to.
I think it's going to be tough to overbuild in AI.
We'll see.
In the near term.
Okay. All right. We like all your predictions except for that one, but it's good.
It's good for predictions to be debatable.
Yeah. Right? It's like good to be debatable.
Okay.
The next one is
worthy of debate.
These two are kind of related, so I'll bring them one at a time. The next one is, I think we're going to see the first agent-to-agent payment without a human in the loop. Now, you can debate what that means because I don't think it's going to be fully autonomous. Maybe the agent's still running on a system like AWS that could be unplugged. But I think you're going to see the first agent pay another agent in Bitcoin.
And that you could create a toy example today, yes. but you're talking about something more than a toy? Or?
No, I think a toy would count.
Sufficient, okay.
Related to that, I think we're going to see the first example of AI evolution where Bitcoin is the price signal or is the like reward function. So like an agent evolves its own code or activity based on trying multiple things and going with the one that receives the most apps.
Yeah, I'm still trying to like make this concrete in my mind? Is it, do you have like, is there like an example application?
So imagine,
that you could walk us through?
I won't say too much, but like imagine there was like a meme generator on Nosfu and it had, you know, whatever, like a certain flavor of memes it's generating. And it ran, I don't know, like two examples, like one that's more like PC, one that's not. And it like develops along a path based on which of those gets the most apps.
So it develops, meaning it generates new images along that meme.
Like a new version of itself. It's like, okay, the next one, now we see, you know, it's like the meme that gets the most is like, I don't know, the African child or the guy looking back. So we're really focusing on that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
What else you got?
Is AI going to be able to evaluate these things?
The next one is, while we're on
MDK.
Since we're on the AI topic, I think that's probably a little too early for this to happen by itself. But I think you're going to see the first toy example that gets the conversation going around the idea of a sovereign AI as the future business entity, like beyond C corporations or LLCs. So that would be something like what we talked about with the, what do you call it? The Maple AI guys. Some toy wins and enough that people say, oh, people start talking about this idea that like AI agents with their own reward function is the new business entity beyond C Corps and LLCs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think at least one.
Yeah, I like that one, by the way. I think that's like contained enough. It could be simple early examples. I feel like I'm into that.
Okay, here's my next one. I don't know how to like quantify this one exactly, so maybe you guys have ideas. But I think Bhutan is going to emerge as like the clear big winner from Bitcoin, and or at least example of what is like El Salvador has kind of been that so far. I think Bhutan becomes like the country that's like clearly gaining the most from Bitcoin and continues in its march of becoming its own version of like a Singapore.
Yeah, I like that one. And I El Salvador.
That's related to this news, right? Hmm? Somewhat related to the news.
It's related to the news, but it's been, El Salvador has had, within the Bitcoin community, at least 100x the awareness.
Yes.
But Bhutan has had 100x the actual substance and results.
And so I think that starts flipping in 26.
And why is the discrepancy between the awareness versus results?
Because one's quiet. Well, Bhutan has accumulated a ton of Bitcoin through hydro mining. So it's like clean energy mining. They've been doing it for years.
Are they purposely doing it kind of on
El Salvador? They supposedly tapped into a volcano. Like, is that real or not? It's hard to know. And if they have, I think it's a token amount. Where Bhutan has like the amount of Bitcoin they've accumulated is like more than their entire treasury. Like
it's 40% of the GDP.
Yeah, it's 40% of the GDP.
It's huge.
It's like massive.
So they have like, I think it's like 1,100, like something real.
I mean, they're donating $1 billion to their like mindfulness initiative. So they're investing in a city.
And my understanding, I'm not sure 100%, but I think they're not actually investing it. I need to go deeper on this. My understanding is I think they're going to use it as collateral. And so
right.
I read that from that article. Another key idea I want to get out of this is that more nations are going to look to Bhutan as a model. Because Bhutan, one could argue, yes, they have the gross national happiness thing. They're like a sort of a Buddhist country. By everything I've heard, their king is somewhat, I mean, he's a king, but sort of like an enlightened king to a degree. And so it appears, at least on surface, that they're using the winnings from Bitcoin to actually improve the lives of the people that live in the country, which is really fucking cool to see.
Mm-hmm.
And one could argue that this could emerge like an alternative to like, you know, past you have IMF loans. Like, well, now you see another alternative where someone's using a different form of collateral outside of the traditional system, and it appears to be working, and that's going to get people interested. And they're also going to see that Bhutan's number one export to the world is hash rate, which is a big deal.
Yeah, I love that prediction. I totally agree. And I'm a much bigger believer in Bhutan becoming what you're saying versus El Salvador.
Cool. What scale is Bhutan doing hydro mining on, or like what if they announced this specific number for their treasury or what they?
I think they have. I forgot the number off the top of my head.
I think they have at least 1,100 Bitcoin. I forget the exact number.
And is it bigger or smaller than El Salvador? Or
I think it's smaller earlier? But bigger per capita because it's a tiny
island. Oh, okay. Is what bigger or smaller?
The treasury.
Oh,
the Bhutan treasury versus El Salvador. Okay,
well, is it? Does anyone know how much El Salvador has? I know it's way bigger per capita, but
No, I think it's
anyways. regardless, I think that narrative flips.
Let's look at those numbers because I think it's way bigger, absolute and per capita.
Yeah. So anyways, I think that becomes a big deal. I just lost my predictions. I had a couple more. Oh, no. Now it's asking me to log in.
Oh.
That's annoying.
I assume you guys have not ever been to Bhutan?
Not yet. I want to go. I've actually, interestingly, it's a place I've wanted to go since childhood. As a kid, my dad took me to the, I'm trying to do this damn, everything you got to do with AI now, this is where I feel like a
boy. Well, he looks it up. I was partially invited to go meet with the king to get, like, give ideas for what they could do with Bitcoin.
What?
Through someone I know. But that's then sick. That didn't come to fruition. But I would definitely take up the invite.
What does a partial invite look like? Hey, come by if you're free.
Well, someone I know who has been to Bhutan and spent weeks with the king said that they were going to invite folks to come and get, share ideas, and then I don't know if that actually happened and I didn't get invited or if it has not happened.
And what is the
I think I know rough, the folk you're thinking of too.
What's the rough population of Bhutan? You mentioned it's tiny. Is it like it's a million people or 100,000?
I think it's like 800,000. I don't remember. It's tiny.
That. Yeah.
Okay. So I got my predictions back. So
how many more predictions do you have?
Three more.
Steve's getting tired.
I'm just embarrassed because like Max is owning me on predictions.
Well, just on quantity.
On quantity. As Deanna says, I think she had one on there. It's gone now.
I've given my opinion whether I like or don't like the predictions, but it feels like AI slop as well. But actually, not actually.
These are good predictions, homie. AI slop.
No, they are.
I did use AI to help me with
you
some.
You use AI.
But I came up with a lot of my, and this is what I'm saying. Google's
okay.
Like my,
that's okay.
My research partner.
You don't have to anchor on your intelligence.
Okay.
It's plentiful in the universe now.
The next one is, but the taste.
The curation,
Google's still way. All right, the next one. Ready? First Bitcoin gets mined in space.
I know the probability of this.
It's high.
You know the probability of this? Like, you know of an actual project
because
happening.
The guy in charge of doing this just laid out in an email to me the probability of it happening. And you're not on this email. No.
Why am I not on this email?
No, you're not on. Well, like Q3, Q4, and Q1 probability.
Q3, Q4 of 2026, Q1 of 2027.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to happen. Okay. The next one.
Is that just like a demo? Like, hey, we mined.
Just a demo.
Not like we're going to do
just
this.
Just like, learn. It's an experiment. Like what happens with the chip in space.
Because
this
has been a topic. Hasn't like data centers in space just kind of blown up as a topic? I think each of Elon and Sundar.
It blew up as a topic 2 days before we had already planned to have it as a topic of discussion at Type 1 Summit.
Yeah.
So
I would say we blew up at Type 1 Summit.
Literally the day of.
Max made happen. Thank you, Max.
So that one I feel pretty good on. The next one, the next three, this is not exactly a Bitcoin one, but fuck it. We ride. The next one, by the end of 2026, Google has by far the best model, AI model, and it's clear that Google is winning. But it's also clear in the mainstream narrative that XAI is by far the leader in the AI race because Elon has a monopoly on getting to space and everyone is FOMOing into, oh my God, we have to get to space to train these models.
Also, I think to a lesser degree, but still meaningful, is the social media data.
Sure, that too.
And he's closed that off to others, right? I have a question though. So agree on the Google prediction, but ChatGPT has a massive lead on users, right?
What's your
prediction around how that changes a year from now?
No idea. I just think that Google's going to have the best. And I mean, I would say it goes so far as to say, if it's not, I actually think it'll probably be Claude and Anthropic. I think Anthropic's doing really well with the coders. I think ChatGPT continues to be more of a consumer product for like the people that are not deep. I feel like you guys are going to be using Google.
And then that long term, ChatGPT loses or?
I mean, I think all four are probably going to do just fine. In the long run, I don't think any of them are going to be like big losers per se, but I think that it's going to become clear if there is only one winner, it's going to be X because of the space.
I would maybe tweak my own version of that, which is I think the models don't matter long term. Mm. You need to have something besides the model. So if you have access to space, great. If you have the best data centers, cheapest energy, best proprietary data sets, whatever, there's some other aspect, but just like, oh, we have the best researchers and built the best model, I think it's not a credible differentiator long term.
I agree.
Nick asks, aren't space data centers a meme?
They are both a meme and they're actually happening. Okay. The
Most
next one.
Actually happen. Yeah, they have to get mimetic at some point, right?
I mean, look, Elon has just skipped from type one to type two, so we'll have the type two summit next year.
And he claims that money will not matter. So I ask you, why are you wasting all your time on Bitcoin if money will not matter?
I disagree with him on that one.
Okay.
But hold on. On this show earlier in the year, I feel like definitely the topic was raised, and I thought you raised it that money wouldn't matter. But maybe you're just raising it as a topic as opposed to...
Yeah, I was raising it as a topic.
As opposed to having a position.
It's not my specific prediction. I also won't say I feel like it's 100% wrong, because I've also qualified, as DK knows many times, if energy really becomes effectively free, then I think that is a possible world. I think we're not there yet. And I think that sadly, the political structures are probably not going to allow that to happen on the first run. I would love to be wrong.
I think like energy being roughly free is going to happen in the course of our lifetimes, but probably not in the next year.
Yeah.
And so the timing really matters on like that. Like, is that transition a 10-year transition?
Yeah. Yeah. And as Nick says, it's kind of LOL, the hang on, the guy's launching X money, thinks money doesn't matter. Yeah. I would take that with a grain of salt. Okay. Yeah,
the guy going to court over his pay package.
Right.
Money doesn't matter.
Okay. My next two predictions, my final two predictions. This one gets back to Square and Cash App and why one of the reasons I'm bullish. I think Tidal is going to play a pretty major adoption role for Bitcoin, and they're going to pay out the first artist in Bitcoin next year.
And that's without any inside info. That's just your observation.
It's just my observation from the world.
No comment.
It's very obvious to me.
Yeah.
And finally, my last one is that my sort of recycle from last year, an unexpected Nostr app will break into the mainstream.
And I would asterisk that and say we will not call it a Nostr app,
even though we'll use Nostr.
And then I want to highlight Matt Belez is mentioning an audience prediction. AI creates major scientific discovery that will change the world. I strongly agree with that. I think we already have evidence of AIs making some scientific breakthroughs in some fields. I think we had a physics or a math one that happened. And it seems very, you know, let silicon and electricity go. Like, yes, I think more of that will happen and something substantial probably comes of it. So I'm with you, Matt.
Cool. I agree. I don't know if it'll be next year or 2027, but I think certainly the next 2 years. I think Divine, that's the new Nostr app. Oh, yeah, that was the Rabble Nostr app. Exactly. He said maybe that seems ready to do that. Yeah, who knows? And Deanna says it will be her app. She doesn't know what it is yet, but she'll be vibe coding. So.
Sweet. I only have one prediction.
Okay.
I didn't use AI. I failed to prep. Sorry. But
you can come back in early 2026.
Maybe
still valid,
if I come up with something good, I'll do that. But
I didn't use AI.
I'll predict the flippening in 2026.
Flippening of what? Oh, this is a good one.
The Bitcoin B symbol over sat.
Oh.
Okay.
Right. The sentiment will shift.
Yeah.
The number, the product adoption, the sentiment will be like, all of a sudden, oh, that product hasn't upgraded yet adopted it yet, and it will feel old and stale.
Yep.
As opposed to like, this is a weird concept. Sats have already won. Like that, the sentiment to date has been, Sats have already won. Why are these people trying to push for Bitcoin B symbol?
Matt says, hasn't that already happened? Are you making a DK prediction? I predict what happened yesterday. This is going to happen.
Those are the best predictions.
In Matt, in my mind, it's already happened. But I don't think an objective person would say it's flipped. There's been a flipping yet. I think it will flip in 2026.
I would like to make one more prediction, which is that Max and hopefully DK, but if not DK and AI, but hopefully DK.
He's assigning me work.
Will
what do I have to do?
Produce a hip-hop track together next year. He seems less confident.
Related to the show or not?
Nah.
Okay.
We do. I'm going to predict. I think I made this prediction is we're going to get some theme music for PBJ. Some custom intros and outros.
But it can't
music.
Be lame.
Well, we have a volunteer really who's going to come up with some creative ideas for like an introductory segment of each episode.
Who?
Yeah, I haven't told you this yet.
No.
No. Ken from the Spiral team. Okay. I talked to DK.
Ken's got pretty good taste.
He wants, well, he's our number one fan.
Yeah.
He loves the show and he has some ideas.
Okay, cool. I'm open. Just don't be lame.
And I know I've been going on and on about this with Alex just before and with Steve on our bike ride yesterday. I don't know if I've mentioned to you, have we talked about the Acquired podcast?
You mean you made a big deal the last week? You're like, okay, you guys, hey, listen, have you, I don't mean to get too excited. Have you guys heard of the Joe Rogan podcast?
I know.
I just found this great podcast.
I'm so late to it, but I'm so in love with it.
I'm even later to it though.
But you got into the NFL one.
Yeah, I'm an hour into the NFL episode and it's fucking amazing.
It's really good. The Google
I've already shared it with my whole fantasy football league, calling it a must listen.
The Google series is amazing.
Yeah, the Google series is dope. I haven't even listened.
This morning when I went to the gym, I started the Visa one. Of course, it's amazing.
D-Hawk, have you read the book?
No, it's basically, that is their primary source, is the book. So it's kind of like, it's like an audio conversation. Them sort of, they've read the book, they researched it, they talked to the, I think
they
talked
to
the
Dave
book
before he died. Dude, by the way, if you haven't read that, read that book. You will love that book. I think you'll like it. You both like that
or
book.
Listen to the Acquired podcast.
Yeah.
It's effectively like.
But the book, D-Hawk, is, I forget, what's the name of the book? It's One from Many. Alan Farrington's a big fan as well. Shout out to Alan. He has great
books. The book?
Yeah, it's the book. There's like
some other book I heard of.
Yeah,
That's One from Many.
From Many is one of the best business-slash-philosophy books I've ever read. 10 out of 10 recommend. And it's very poetic as well.
There's one called The Power of an Idea.
Yeah, that's
not.
These are like the lame ones that these guys will listen
to. That's not the ones.
These are the lame ones.
Okay.
One from Many is beautiful and poetic, and like it's a book about life, and it's by the guy that founded Visa, and a business just happens to be part of it.
Oh, cool!
It's excellent.
But as kind of payments nerds, I think you'll enjoy the Visa episode.
I'm going to finish NFL and then Visa, and I'm late to the game here, but I agree.
It's like, so good.
I am such a huge NFL fan, and you're not much of an NFL fan, right?
I mean, I might get back into a little bit because I'm a Saints fan, and the Saints have just been so bad for so long, but now we got a guy that's like,
I'm a huge fan, spent so much time watching it and understanding it. And like the first 60 minutes I've listened to this podcast, like 59 of the 60 minutes, it's information new to me.
Really?
And super valuable and interesting.
Wow.
Because it starts in the 1860s.
Oh.
So go the origin of American football. It starts with college athletics,
and then
the introduction of professional and the different leagues. It's just amazing.
We all grump on fees about the 3%. None of the early merchants cared at all. They were like, amazing! All these new customers can come to me and just pay, and it's so easy. Like I think it was 5 or 7% or something, and they didn't worry about it.
So to be clear, One from Many, you'll get the payment nerd stuff too.
Okay,
talks about, cool. But it's from his perspective. So it's like a philosopher king learns about payments. It's kind of like a little bit like Jack Dorsey. He's doing it and he's doing cool business stuff, but like he doesn't really, he's not here like, I'm gonna make some margins. Mm-hmm. Like he's like changing the world, and it's cool.
Right.
So
another thing that we headlined for today is contentious forks. So maybe we touch on that. I mean, there's like a multi-hour conversation, but at least like let's touch on
it. Is this the knots thing or quantum stuff or all of it?
Above. It could be either. So for those that don't know, I worked on a project with Lynn Alden and Crypto Ren a year ago called BCAP, Bitcoin Consensus Analysis Project. We mentioned it a few times this show earlier in the year. Never really went deep on it, though. I think it's, the question is like, the question on a lot of people's minds is like, how does Bitcoin change? How do you change Bitcoin? But the flip of that is also a very interesting question. How do you not change Bitcoin? Because if you are invested in Bitcoin or using Bitcoin and you really care about
nothing.
Well, but let's say we're investors, or let's say we're running a business. We care very much about the properties of Bitcoin.
Right.
We don't want it to change because we like the properties of Bitcoin. So we should care about how does it not change. You say do nothing, but what if other humans in the world do something? How do you prevent it from changing? So both sides of the coin is it's the same coin, but it's two different views. So this project was an analysis of like what keeps it from changing and how does it change. There's of course no like authoritative resource in including this project, but it's just an analysis. It's a framework. It's one way to think about it. I think it's, I mean, I'm biased, but I think it's a good way to think about it. So we produced that in 2024, launched it a little over a year ago. And I feel like now that there's a couple of topics that are related to this, it's starting, it'll be more valuable to other folks. One is the knot stuff. So there's a BIP, it was 444, now it's 110, but trying to like defeat spam and confiscate coins, etc. But it would be a consensus change. I don't think there's a whole lot of
merit.
Certainly not merit. And there's not enough, there's not much oomph to that, but like nevertheless, it's a topic in social media at least. And then quantum continues to rear its head. We've talked about it a lot on the show, and it may be playing a small or large part in price suppression of Bitcoin.
Right.
There's definitely discussion
fear.
And fear
yeah.
among investors with quantum. And so if and when quantum computers ever do become capable of stealing Bitcoin, we will need to do a consensus change to introduce new cryptography. And you know, we've talked about on the show, like what are the different contentious issues there. So BCAP project, I think, addresses both of these quite well. So you might see some of us who worked on BCAP go on podcasts and stuff and get more engaged on social media to talk about how it applies to this. But I was surprised in social media engagement yesterday, Nick Carter spending time looking at the quantum issue right now, doing a lot of research, writing a lot about it.
Which is great, by the way, because Nick is a smart dude, so I'm happy
to see that. Yeah, Nick's a smart guy, and he's positioning as a bit of, I would characterize it alarmist, though. So more alarmist than I think is really...
But I'm glad, because even if he's wrong, like, it's good that people are, like, taking it seriously, looking to it, so...
Well, that's an interesting discussion point. I mean, like, because... the question of like when will a quantum computer be like I don't see how we can we're not going to reach a point in 1 year. I saw someone relate this to like the environment issue, and I feel like we came up with a bunch of rational logical arguments for why it's not an environmental concern, and we're seeing that play out, and it's kind of like it's it has proof points behind it. But with quantum FUD, like a year from now, we're not going to be able to say like, yep, a quantum computer is impossible, or a quantum computer, we now have proof that it's going to be 25 years until it's viable.
Right.
We're not going to have that. So it's going to be this looming question.
Yeah.
Right. So if, so well, how do we, clear. How do we move,
different than
how do we move away from alarmism then? So I do think it's very, it's good to be raising awareness because we don't know if and when it will occur. And if it does occur in a few years and we're not prepared, that is bad for Bitcoin. So I think what's important to communicate is like, what are the key points? Are we prepared? What's our level of preparation? And we covered that at the Presidio Bitcoin Quantum event. We need to do a better job, as we talked about on the show a few weeks ago.
Alex said he's summarizing.
We're going to get that out in January.
Not alpha drop.
And but in any case, what I wanted to say, like, in that exchange with Nick on X, I was really surprised one statement he made, which is that there won't ever be a contentious fork again with Bitcoin because BlackRock will just negotiate it behind the scenes. And I think that's completely insane. Like if that is true, like if you guys say like, yeah, I agree with Nick and everyone believes that, then I'm going to just exit Bitcoin. Like that's Bitcoin's like completely uninteresting then.
Right.
If BlackRock is...
Yeah.
controlling it and just simply just behind the scenes negotiating it. Like
how much do they hold? I bet.
Like, well, I mean, we can talk about that, but like,
what was the actual number? Like a million?
They hold none.
I mean,
on behalf of
Coinbase,
the customers,
right? Coinbase is the
on behalf of the customers. Like, how much are they in theory? I know they're not custodying it, but like, how much are they in theory managing?
I think it's on the order of 800,000.
Okay. Because to be clear, I mean, I think Nick's point is, I don't know if they have enough. I haven't really thought about this issue to have an opinion yet. But even if it's not their Bitcoin in the docs, they can choose it for.
I know.
So
we cover that in the BCAP analysis. Yeah. So you guys should reread it.
Okay.
But do you agree that if it's true that they control Bitcoin?
Well, I don't think they can do it by themselves, but like one might say maybe today as they keep accumulating coins. Like I would probably say just on face without thinking about it a lot, he's probably wrong today. But like, could you imagine a world pretty soon where there's enough big players that collectively have enough of the supply? Probably.
Yeah, but I still don't see how they can't control others from forking. Like others can create a fork.
Yeah.
I mean, and the rest of the world can place bets on that.
Sure.
Like a market can exist.
Yeah, but that I think his point is that fork would not get any economic viability. Like 2017, eCash for a minute.
It could. What, like if the Chinese don't like the direction that BlackRock's going, they absolutely will start placing
bets. That's a good
point.
Yeah, if sovereigns compete, sure.
Yeah, I mean, the world's complex, right?
Yeah,
it's not just a BlackRock world.
Yeah.
So, or Coinbase or Strategy or what have you. But and also another dynamic, which we didn't get into in that social media interaction, is futures markets, I think, will play a big... I mean, what I said in the show a few weeks ago, and I said on Twitter, is that I don't think, in the specific case of Quantum, I don't think we're going to resolve freeze coins or steal coins.
Yeah.
Because there's really good arguments for both mm-hmm. positions, and they both strike at the heart of core principles most Bitcoiners care about. So it's a really hard problem, right?
Yeah.
So I think we're not going to like just have a discussion and come to consensus. I think it will come, it'll be a war. I think there will be a split, and then the markets will decide. That's what I've stated.
I think the markets will decide pretty quickly, though.
I think they'll decide very quickly. Now, but an alternative to that, which is the same sentiment, is that there won't be a split, a chain split, because the markets will have already decided through a futures market.
Right.
Like you know, if someone proposes a fork at block height, you know, 1.2 million or whatever, and we all see it's ahead of us, there'll be a futures market.
Mm.
And if coin A, like the freeze coins are worth 10 times more than the steal, then, or vice versa, that'll be the winning coin and there'll be consensus. Because I don't feel like, even if you're in one camp versus the other, this is not a deal breaker issue for most people. Like you might have a preference for,
right?
I think you, at least last show, you stated a preference for steel.
I stated that preference steel, over and over. I don't like calling it steel. I'm in camp free markets. We don't touch it.
Okay. Camp free market. And then sailors and camp.
Steel is a very bad brother.
Sailors and camp freeze, right? And I know lots of people who I respect a lot and have influence that are in each camp.
Yeah.
But I think most people, if they learn that the 10x the price is in the camp that you're not in, you are going to capitulate versus
go
with the underpricing.
I think for any of these things, I agree with you. That's most likely to happen on Quantum. I think for something like the like spam thing, you're always going to have the orthodox tiny group. If they want to fork off, great. They just want to have any economic value. Like Bcash still exists. So I think there will be forks, but like it's going to be obvious which one has value versus not.
But I don't think it's a negotiation
by
BlackRock. Now, one thing I do think merits analysis is like to have a fork, you generally need miner activation. You don't technically need it, but that's the easiest way to get a fork. So since mining is very centralized with a few mining pools, you can have mining pools and the BlackRocks and Coinbase of the world get in a room. But even then, like, I think the Chinese are our friend there in the sense that like
it keeps things like a
zero. I think it's the incentives of Chinese and Chinese companies are not necessarily aligned with Wall Street.
Two last thoughts on that. It'd be interesting to get your take on the BCAP project if it changes at all as BlackRock accumulates more coins. And second thing on the Quantum thing, I know way over time, so in a future episode, I would like to see anyone that dismisses Nick's arguments also be AGI pilled. One thing that I will say is I know Nick is AGI-pilled. I know a lot of people that are like debating him are not AGI-pilled. I would like to see a credible person that disagrees with him or like is on the opposite side of alarmism that also believes, you know, that we're not going to see AI rapidly increasing all kinds of discoveries in mathematics, technological breakthroughs like Matt said in healthcare. Because I think that's one area where a lot of people I disagree with and I do agree with Nick.
Cool.
All right.
Great. Great episode. Great year.
Yes.
Great.
Happy holidays.
Looking forward to 2026.
Till next time. Hasta luego.
Later.
Bye-bye.